Welcome back, you horny little rats. It's time to smut up and listen.
Just a reminder for today's episode and all future episodes, our opinions are subjective. We don't advocate for kink shaming or author shaming. This is all in good, smutty fun. Enjoy. And don't forget to check out patreon.com/smutupandlisten to listen to the r/smut podcast, where Riley and I will be doing blind reactions every Tuesday to Reddit erotica.
Welcome back, you horny little rats. It's time to smut up and listen.
Just a reminder for today's episode and all future episodes, our opinions are subjective. We don't advocate for kink shaming or author shaming. This is all in good, smutty fun. Enjoy! And also a quick reminder, we do have a Patreon where Riley and I do a deep dive into a series of unfortunate events by Lemony Snicket. You have access to that exclusively on Patreon at the $5 tier, which also gives you early Monday releases and all ad-free content. So check it out.
Today's trigger warnings are explicit sexual content, death of a parent, trauma after injury, and toxic family dynamics.
And we got a review.
Yeah, baby. Woo-hoo.
It's from Kate Pag. Best podcast ever. Y'all, once you listen to one episode, you'll never go back. These ladies are freaking hilarious and are so on point with the book discussion. I live for the commentary. I cry laughing every time because what they say is so true. I'm so glad I found them.
Thank you.
Oh my God.
Thank you.
I'm blushing.
I know. It's so sweet.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And this week's book is Done and Dusted by Lila Sage. And how many stars did you give it on Goodreads, Jenna?
I gave it a 4.5 because you can't do half stars on Goodreads, but...
You can't. It's so annoying. I gave it a 4.
Mm. Love it. It's my first little Western and yeehaw.
I know. Something about like a man with a horse and he's gruff.
A manly man.
Yeah. But he knows where the clit is. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's a man. Also, how do you feel about the new, like, country Post Malone situation?
I love it.
I'm eating it
Me too. I'm so excited for it.
Anything Posty?
Mm-hmm.
And the way he dances, too. I'm like, Posty,
go off.
He, like, squishes his little butt in some Wranglers, and I'm like, oh!
His little twinkle toes.
Okay, so the book starts with Emmy, who is our female main character, and her full name is Clementine Ryder.
Oh, I love that.
Do people call her Clemmy?
No, they call her Emmy.
Emmy.
Oh,
I like Clemmy better.
You should let her know.
I know.
She's just broken up with her boyfriend and driven 300 miles from Denver to her hometown of Meadowlark, Wyoming, and is going to a bar called the Devil's Boot with her BFF, Teddy. And Teddy's fun.
Yeah.
We love Teddy.
She's like a girl's girl. She's like... always riding for her bestie.
She's wearing a white tank top with a black satin skirt with black cowboy boots, and she is feeling herself. And I thought the white tank top was, like, an interesting choice, because I'm just thinking wife beater, but whatever.
Yeah, but I guess, like, when you're, like, a cowgirl and she's wearing, like, a skirt with cowboy boots, like, it might be, like, a hot wife beater.
Yeah, you know? Love wife beaters in the country.
I feel like if you got titties, like, if it's, like, a low-rise wife beater and you got your titties nippies out, it might be, like, cute.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
A little saucy moment, a little saucy redneck moment.
Teddy orders them a couple of tequila sodas and goes around to look for hotties to pay for their drinks. As she's sitting alone at their table, she's approached by a guy named Kenny who recognizes her. And Kenny was the high school quarterback and Emmy's homecoming date. And he says how surprised he is to see her here. He'd assumed that she'd be on the Women's Professional Rodeo Association tour right now. So she is a barrel racer.
Oh. Barrel racers are just known to be crazy, wild girlies.
I feel like you'd have to be.
Yeah, have you watched it? It's terrifying.
Is that the ones where they chase around, like, little small animals?
No, they race around barrels. That's why it's called barrel racing.
All right, shut up, Charlotte.
Emmy tells Kenny that she's taking a break and came to town to visit family. She says she'll be in town for a few months, and he's got his hands around her waist and tells her how good she looks. And then all of a sudden, the band stops playing, and the intro to My Darling Clementine is blasting through the bar, and Emmy knows exactly who would torture her with this song. She storms off to go find the prankster and runs straight into him, and he is Luke Brooks.
Luke Brooks.
Oh, yeah. Luke.
He's the owner of the bar and her older brother's best friend.
Oh, wow. It's a brother's friend, huh?
He can't believe how hot she is and even thinks about what she'd look like wrapped up in his bed sheets. He snaps himself out of it and is like, no, this is your best friend's little sister. She's off limits. Which, like, just do it. It's fine.
Yeah, she's a human too. You know, a
They're
real
both
person.
Consenting adults. I think she's 26 and he's
30, I think.
He turned the song on to get her attention off of slimy ass Kenny, and not because he was jealous, not at all.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah.
He knew it's what her older brothers, Wes and Gus, would want. Which, like, what bumpkin names? Wes and Gus?
Wes and Gus, you get your ass in here!
But their full names aren't bumpkin. Wes is Weston, which I guess is pretty bumpkin, but Gus is August. Which, like, love that.
I love that name.
Kenny ditched Emmy at homecoming for another girl, and they know he's bad news, and seeing her smiling at him has Luke feeling all sorts of annoyed. Emmy's irritated at the way she feels a jolt of electricity as Luke grabs her arms. She had a childhood crush on him, but as he got closer to her family, she realized how annoying he was and those feelings faded, though she can't help but notice how handsome he looks now. She tells him to fuck off, and he says, I see your tongue is sharp as ever, sugar, and she tells him not to call her that. And he says she should be thanking him for saving her from Kenny, and she tells him to get a grip. She was just saying hi, and even if she was flirting with him, it's none of his business. He says ever since her family became his family, it is his business what she does, and it always will be. He informs her that he owns the bar now, and if he catches Kenny with his hands on her again, he'll kick them both out.
Okay.
Rawr.
I know, it's a bit of an over-exaggeration. Despite the warning, she still leaves with Kenny at the end of the night, and Luke has to break the news to Gus when he calls the next morning, but it turns out Gus and the rest of the family didn't even know Emmy was in town.
Little sneaky snake.
Gus immediately starts blowing up her phone, and when he answers, he's like, where are you? And now she knows that Luke ratted her out. She says she came home because she needed a break, and when he asks her about going home with Kenny, she tells him that he just gave her and Teddy a ride home because he wasn't drinking, and Gus tells her to stay away from him because he's an asshole.
Oh, is Kenny a bad boy?
You know, you would think so, but Kenny is essentially irrelevant in this story. I thought Kenny was gonna come back and, like, do some shenanigans, but no.
Kenny just, like, fucked her over, like, in high school. So they were all just like, fuck Kenny, we hate him. He's a dick.
Yeah, but he is just like, okay, bye. And then we don't see him again.
All right.
She tells him to let the homecoming thing go already. And then he asks her to pick up his daughter, Riley.
Mm, that's me.
Who he shares with an old one-night stand, and to bring Riley back to her house. And Emmy says absolutely, because she loves Riley. She's a real good auntie. Oh. When she pulls up to the Rebel Blue Ranch to pick Riley up from her riding lesson, it's exactly how she remembers it. She's greeted by her other brother, Wes, who tells her that her old room was converted into a yoga studio, but she can stay in one of the cabins out back, and she says that sounds amazing. She tells him she's having her horse, Maple, sent over from Denver, and he says there's plenty of room for her, too, because they have, like, horse stables and stuff. He doesn't ask her why she's here, but he says that he's happy she's home. She goes up to the corral where all of the four-year-olds who signed up are riding miniature ponies around.
Oh.
Isn't that adorable?
So cute.
And she's admiring the ass of whoever her brother hired to instruct the class. But when he turns around, it's Luke.
Yeah.
Hey, Riley Luke-y. Notices Emmy and screams, Auntie! And Luke turns around and smiles at her. So she awkwardly shoots him the finger guns. And she's like, why the fuck did I do that?
I'm a big fan of the finger guns.
Yeah.
Big fan.
Riley gets off her horse and runs over to Emmy to give her a hug and tells her she wants to be a great rider, just like her auntie. But Emmy can't help thinking about her accident and how she isn't a good rider at all. Luke is staring at her and can't stop thinking about how beautiful she looks and kicks himself for somehow developing a romantic interest in her, but he has no idea what he's supposed to do now. Later on, Emmy is walking out of the cabin and getting a heavy box out of the back of her beat-up old truck, and Luke is admiring the way she looks in her tight shorts, but he doesn't know whether he should help her or not. He decides to be a gentleman and help her bring all of her stuff into the cabin, but he's still checking her ass out the entire time. They start talking, and every time he sees her smile at him, he swoons a little bit.
Oh, getting a little bony, huh?
He's got some butterflies.
Can you get a bony in Wranglers? It seems like it'd be uncomfortable.
I feel like you could. It would just be restricted.
Like a caged animal.
Yeah, I think he says it's painful.
Let me out! The denim!
He asks her if she had fun after she left the bar last night, obviously covertly asking if she fucked Kenny, but she reassures him that all Kenny did was give her a ride home because they were drunk. She starts to ask him about how he came to own the Devil's Boot, and he tells her that his drunk dad, Jimmy, died, and after he died, he found out that Jimmy owned the bar the entire time, so now it belongs to Luke. They're finishing up with the boxes, and Emmy trips on one of them and falls hard on the ground, scraping her arm in the process. Luke freaks out and is like, oh my god, are you okay? And when Emmy looks down at her arm, she sees it's bleeding, and she has a visceral reaction to seeing the blood, which Luke doesn't remember about her from childhood. So she's like, oh fuck, I'm getting dizzy.
Oh no.
He grabs either side of her face and tells her just to look at him until she calms down, and then he goes and grabs a first aid kit from under the sink and patches her up. As he's putting the rubbing alcohol on her wound, he rests his hand on her upper thigh, and he notices that her body starts to react to him. And he feels such a pull toward her, but he doesn't understand why.
We love the magnetic pull. I love when they describe that.
Oh, they just can't stay away from each other. He starts to caress her thigh, and she looks down to his mouth and then back up to his eyes, and he really wants to kiss her. And he thinks that maybe she wants to kiss him too. He's just about to lean in and do it when Wes's voice interrupts them, and he tells her that he brought her bedding over, and then he's like, oh, Luke, I wondered why your truck was outside. Emmy quickly says that Luke was just here helping her with the boxes, and Wes is like, okay, that's very nice of him, I guess. He's like, why are you telling me this?
He's like, I don't care.
Because he's so, like, ingrained with their family that he's basically, like, a brother.
Yeah. So, like, him being there, they're like, Luke's
here. They're like, okay, why are you being weird about it? There's some obvious tension in the air that Wes can sense, and he's looking between the two of them suspiciously, but then Luke says he's got to get going, and he'll be back for the football game tomorrow that they do every Sunday at the ranch. So they all watch Sunday football together. Just the boys.
Oh, just men being men.
When Luke gets to his car, he's kind of freaking out because if Wes was even a second later, he could have potentially walked in on Luke making out with Emmy. It's been a week since the incident, and Emmy can't stop thinking about how she almost kissed Luke and doesn't understand why all of a sudden she wants him, but she totally understands why all the girls in town want him because he's a total ladies' man. Even though she's seen his truck on the property multiple times this week, she hasn't seen him because she's been actively avoiding him. Just making it weird, girl.
Yeah, that never helps.
She should feel relieved that they haven't run into each other, but she feels a little bit disappointed. Teddy stops by the cabin and brings Emmy a bunch of housewarming essentials like a coffee pot, chips, leggings, and a better bedding set than the one Wes brought over last week.
Wow, what a good fucking friend.
I know.
That's expensive.
Emmy's thinking about what a good friend Teddy is, and she suddenly blurts out that she wants to kiss Luke, and Teddy is like, tell me everything. Like, what the fuck? Emmy tells her what happened last week in the cabin, and Teddy asks if she's starting to get feelings for Luke, and she says, no, of course not, and then Gus walks in. He looks at Teddy and is like, Theodora, I thought I banned you from Rebel Blue, and Teddy says, I thought I told you if you called me that, I would shove a fence post down your throat.
Theodora? Is that her real name?
Teddy, yeah.
What a name.
They get into an argument and Emmy interrupts them and is like, can we not do this right now? And Teddy's like, I gotta go anyway. I'll call you later, Emmy.
Is Gus single?
Gus is single.
Oh, those two got a thing.
Right? I was feeling the tension between the two, the brother and the bestie. But
on her way out, Teddy does the what's on your shirt thing to Gus and then flicks him in the nose when he looks down, you know?
Oh, they're gonna fuck. They're gonna fuck.
Gus tells Emmy that since she's moving back home, he's going to be putting her to work since they're down a ranch hand, and between her and Luke, they'll be able to fill his spot. She goes to the big house to have breakfast and to see her dad for the first time since she's been back, and when she walks in, Luke is there too, and they make awkward eye contact. They say awkward hellos, and then her dad runs into the room and picks her up, spinning her around in the air, and tells her how much he missed her. He also tells Emmy that her horse made it and is in the stables, and her dad says maybe they could do a trail ride soon, but Emmy doesn't answer because she doesn't want to tell her dad that she's scared to ride a horse again since the accident.
Ugh, we're gonna learn about this accident.
Oh, she'll open up in more ways than one.
Oh, she'll open up. During breakfast, Luke can't stop looking at Emmy and thinking about how soft her skin had been under his hands. He noticed that since Maple has come home, none of Emmy's riding gear has moved, so he knows that she's not been riding since she's been back, which is strange to him because usually they have to fight to keep her off of the horses, and now with the blood incident last week and this, he's starting to wonder what happened to her. Later that day, Luke is out mucking out the horses' stables. When Emmy walks in, he asks her if she's here to ride Maple, and she says yes after a long pause. But when she goes into the stall with Maple, he notices her hands are shaking, and now he's like, what the hell is going on? He watches her for a while before finally walking in and saying her name, but she doesn't answer right away, so he grabs her hand and leads her out of the stall and turns her around to face him, and when he sees her face, she has tears in her eyes. She says she's fine, and he's like, no, you're not. What's going on? And she tells him just to leave her alone. He asks why she really came home, and she's like, why do you care? And he says, because he cares about her, and she just scoffs at him. And he says that she can tell him whatever's going on, so she tells him she got thrown off a horse and bucked into a fence, and she got knocked out and hit her head, and it was pretty bad, and now she's scared and hasn't been able to ride since. He pulls her into his body and wraps his arms around her, and they lower themselves down into the ground, and he just rocks her back and forth while she cries. He helps her breathe through her little panic attack, and eventually she calms down and says she's sorry, but he tells her not to be, and asks her how often the panic attacks have been happening, and she says a few times before the accident, but a lot ever since, and every single time she tries to get on a horse. She's trying to ride every single day, but she can't bring herself to actually do it, and then Luke has an idea and says he wants to teach her how to ride again, and she says fine, but he's not allowed to tell her brothers what's going on because she doesn't want them to know what happened, and he says fine, we start tomorrow at 8 a.m. She goes to leave, and he's like, hey, Emmy, are we friends now? And she says, yeah, friends.
You're gonna be more than that.
The lesson starts slow with Emmy just tacking and unpacking the horses and then walking them around the corral and returning them to the stables, and she hasn't had a panic attack yet. They talk during this entire process, and Emmy doesn't understand how she's never had an actual conversation with Luke before, but it's really easy to talk to him now. And they actually have a lot in common, and she learns a little bit about his family history and how he's estranged from everyone who's still alive. He was born of an affair that his mom had, so he doesn't speak to her because it makes his stepdad too angry, and because of that, he doesn't have a relationship with his stepbrother. After a few lessons, Emmy's out hanging out with her dad when she out of the blue asks him what he thinks about Luke, since he's been living at the ranch since they were kids, and her dad is taken aback, but is like, he's a good man, why? And she says she doesn't know, she's just curious, and her dad looks at her kind of suspiciously and says, Luke is kind of like a stray dog, rough around the edges, and in need of a little structure and a healthy dose of love. But I haven't had to bail his ass out of jail for a few years, so I'm pretty pleased about that. So, he's kind of a bad boy.
Oh, he needs a little dose of love.
And pussy. I mean,
lots of puss. Give it to him.
After spending a little quality time with her dad, she realizes how happy it feels to be home. She walks down to the stables and gets a text from Kenny. She's gotten a few from him since the night he brought her home, but she doesn't have any interest in him, so she just puts her phone back in her pocket without replying. She spots Luke working in the stables, and she can't help thinking about how hot he looks in his muscle tee and his backwards baseball cap, and I am a slut for a backwards baseball cap.
They do.
When Zach puts one on, I'm like,
I know. Anytime Andrew does, I'm like, hey guy.
Luke looks up and smiles when he sees her, and he has a nail in between his teeth because he's like hammering stuff.
Oh,
hot. Yeah, I know. And she's like, damn, that's hot too. Like, backwards baseball cap and a nail in your teeth? Excuse me?
Oh, you're a working man?
He asks her if she's ready to mount today, and her mind is totally in the gutter, but she thinks she can give it a go, and he smiles at her again.
She's like, yeah, I'm ready to mount.
Mount your dick.
She asks where Maple is, and he says that he let her out this morning, and she's not going to be riding her. She'll be riding Moonshine, the beginner horse. So, like, that's the horse that all of the little kids get to ride.
Moonshine.
She starts to have the telltale signs of a panic attack, so she focuses on him instead and is able to push it down and tells herself she can do this. As they start getting the horses ready, he asks her what they should talk about today, and she asks him who his first kiss was, and he's like, that's an interesting question, and just laughs and says his first kiss was Claudia Wilson, and Emmy's like, didn't you fuck her mom? He says, yeah, it was during a middle school dance, though, and we snuck into the boys' locker room, and I kissed her in the showers, and I didn't sleep with her mom until I was in my 20s, and it was only one time.
Claudia's mom, naughty.
I know.
She must be hot.
He must be hot. I think he is.
Oh, of course.
He asks her who her first kiss was, and she tells him Colton Clifford in sophomore year during the fireworks at the 4th of July rodeo. But he kissed another girl that night, and she caught him under the stand with a freshman, and Luke is like, I know where he lives, I'll go kick his ass right now. And Emmy's like, don't worry, Teddy already did that years ago.
Teddy!
She starts tacking Moonshine up, and her heart is racing. She's getting super anxious, but Luke can sense it and tells her that it's okay and places a hand on her lower back so she calms herself down as much as she can. And he asks if he can help her get on the horse, and she says yes. So he puts his hand around her waist and he says, left foot in the stirrup, sugar, as he walks her through every step of mounting the horse, even though she's done this like 1,000 times. Because she is literally like a record-breaking professional barrel racer. Finally, she's in the saddle and she's like, holy shit, I'm doing it. And Luke takes a look at her and says she is. And now Emmy is swooning. Luke tells her that they'll take a few walks around the corral and then we'll be done for the day. And just to keep breathing. After 3 laps, they're done and he asks her how she feels. And she says she feels amazing. And he tells her that she looks amazing. He helps her off the horse and she flings herself into his arms and he's shocked at the affection and she tells him that she couldn't have done this without him and he says, you could have and I know it. Emmy wants him to kiss her so badly, but he doesn't.
Damn it, Luke.
I know. He pulls away and just starts walking the horses back to the stable. Now it's been 2 weeks since Emmy's been back and having lessons and Luke wants to kiss her so badly and every time he watches her ride, his jeans get a little tighter and he knows he's a fucking goner.
He's like, damn it, that painful boner's back.
He texts her and tells her that he has some business at the bar today and he can't ride with her for a few days and he's hoping that the time away will help him clear his head.
If I saw Emmy while I was feeling the way I was right now, there was no doubt in my mind that I would kiss her. I'd do more than kiss her. I wanted to make Emmy mine in every single way. I wanted to know everything about her, including how she'd sound moaning my name.
Well, he's at the Devil's Boot, and angry-looking Teddy walks in, and he's like, why is Teddy Anderson in my bar at 10 a.m. on a Friday? And Teddy's like, what's going on between you and Emmy? And Luke is like, what are you even talking about? But Teddy tells him to cut the shit because she knows about the almost kiss in the cabin and the riding lessons, and she's like, Emmy's a professional barrel racer. She doesn't need any tips from you. She says, Luke can play with any girl that he wants. Why is he messing with Emmy? And he tells her that he's not messing with her, and they're just friends. And they're not having riding lessons. They're having a riding refresher. And if she wants more information about that, she needs to talk to Emmy.
Tell her.
Teddy asks if he has any tension-filled almost kisses with all of his friends, and he tries to assure Teddy that there's nothing going on between him and Emmy, and he just likes spending time with her. That's all. And Teddy's like, okay, I get it now, and walks away, but not before turning around and saying, if he hurts her best friend, she'll cut his dick off and feed it to him.
Yeah, that's the kind of friend you want.
On Monday, Emmy's woken up at the butt crack of dawn by a phone call from the Women's Professional Rodeo Association, asking if she'll be competing when they come to Meadowlark next month. And they think having her on the circuit would be great for them and great for the town, but tells her she understands that her accident can be hard to work through. And Emmy says she'll need to think about it, and Wendy says she'll call in a couple of weeks to check in and not to hesitate to reach out if she needs anything. Wes comes up to the cabin to bring her to an old house that used to be the main house on the property before she was even born and tells her about his plan for a guest ranch, and he's just waiting for the go-ahead from Gus and their dad so he can hire a contractor, and he tells her about his plans to completely revamp it for people to come and stay, and she tells him how proud she is of him, and he tells her that they're gonna go inside the house to document the state of it, and he pulls a piece of plywood off the front door and they head on in. The house is absolutely decrepit, and she tells him that if anyone can do it, he can. Wes brings up the divisionals race coming to town and asks if she's going to be racing. And she says she doesn't know. And he tells her she'll figure it out. She always does. He says, everything ends, Emmy. Whether you choose to keep racing or not, I do want you to know that I would love to see you ride one last time in the town that built us. He drops her back off at the stables, and all she wants to do is talk to Luke, but he's not there. The next day, Luke can't sleep, so he tosses and turns all night thinking about Emmy, and he finally just gets up to go for a jog, but he still can't stop thinking about her, and he doesn't understand what shifted since she's been in his life for years and years and years, but he's never felt this way about her before or anybody else. She'd always been his best friend's annoying little sister, but now she listens to him when he talks, and she's beautiful and strong and hardworking. And he remembers the time a few years ago when some creepy guy from the next town over was hitting on a 17-year-old Emmy, and Luke pulled the guy aside and told him that if he ever looked at Emmy again, he'd be sorry. And then he went up to Emmy and told her that if she dressed the way she does, she'd get the wrong kind of attention, and he called her a stupid kid and then kicked her out of the party.
Okay, Luke. You're thinking the way you do about her now because she's like a grown-ass woman. Now.
Emmy hit back at him, though, and called him a good-for-nothing fuck-up and stormed off. He looks back at this memory fondly because of her honesty and pizzazz, and he admires her for the person that she is.
Pizzazz.
That was my word, pizzazz. I don't think he's probably ever said the word pizzazz in his life.
I can't see that in the Luke dictionary.
He doesn't know what to do because Emmy is completely off limits, and Gus would freak out if he found out anything went on between the two of them because of Luke's reputation as a womanizer. And he's kind of a man whore, like if you couldn't tell from the he fucked that mom.
He sounds like he fucks.
He finds himself running all the way to Emmy's cabin and knocks at the door, and it's only 8:30 in the morning. He tells Emmy that they're not riding today, but he wants to take her somewhere and to bring a swimsuit, and she's like, where where the hell are we going? But he won't tell her. She shuts the door and changes into a cute little red bikini and then throws on some denim shorts and a cropped band tee with cowboy boots. And then she opens the door back up and Luke looks at her and
he's drooling.
Yeah, he's drooling. She's like, okay, let's go, and goes to the door. And when she turns around, he's totally checking her ass out. And when he notices that she caught him, he like actually blushes. And she's like, oh my God.
He thinks I'm hot.
They go to his truck and he opens the door for her like a gentleman and hands her a cup of coffee. And she's like, damn, this man is hot as hell. And then he hands her a vegetarian breakfast burrito and she's for sure a goner now because she doesn't eat meat. And oh. He remembered that.
She says, no meat? Yes, please. Fuck him on the spot.
As they drive, she watches him eat his burrito while driving the truck. That's a manual. And she's like, holy fucking shit. It's like, that's hard work. Driving a manual and eating a breakfast burrito?
That's hot.
Sploosh. They drive for about 30 minutes before he takes an exit that leads down a mountain road. And he parks his car off to the side and says, they'll have to walk for a minute. And she's like, did you bring me here to kill me? And he says, yes.
Yes, I did.
Book and then he kills her. The end.
And then she dies.
And then he fucks her.
Her dead body.
I like them cold and stiff, baby.
Mm. They make their way through the trees and into a small clearing filled with wildflowers. And she sees a small waterfall flowing into a spring. He tells her he usually comes up here by himself. And she's the first person he's brought here. And he peels his shirt off and she's admiring his toned body.
Oh, do you tell all the girls that?
I don't think Luke's that kind of guy. He looks at her and tells her it's her turn to take her clothes off. And he says, we're swimming, remember? You're not going to swim in your clothes, right? And she's like, oh, okay. Oh, shit. She pulls her shorts down and sees him sharply inhale and his eyes stay on her. She pulls her t-shirt over her head and they head to the spring and don't hesitate to jump in holding hands. When they surface, she instinctively wraps her legs around his waist and she thanks him for bringing her here. He asks her about divisionals coming to Meadowlark and if she's going to race. And she says she wants to. And he says that he thinks that she should. And she says, yeah, but if I do it, I want to win. And he's like, then win. You're Clementine Ryder. You broke 15 seconds in the race last year. It's a no-brainer. And she's like, yeah, but I'm not that good anymore. And he tells her she's getting better every time she practices riding. She says she just wants a chance to say goodbye to the sport. And he tells her that she deserves that. She confesses to him that a few years ago, she got diagnosed with ADHD. And she's always felt like she's doing a million things at once. And for a little while, it made her feel incredible. But when she broke the record, it didn't bring her any joy. And after that, she lost her motivation, and that's probably why she fell off the horse. In the last few months, she hasn't been taking her meds, and she just slept all day and stayed in her apartment, so she finally came back home. He tells her he's happy that she's here and that he's learned more about her over the last 2 weeks than he has in the 20 years he's known her, and she says same. He tells her a little bit about how things changed for him pretty drastically when his dad died 5 years ago, and he inherited the bar, and he got put in jail after a pretty bad bar fight, but her dad bailed him out, telling him that he either had to be himself or become his father. She asks if he had at least won the bar fight, and he says, yeah, of course, but that fucker did break my nose. And she's like, oh, that's why your nose is all fucked up. And then he starts swimming after her and splashing her.
Oh, just cutesy.
I know. They play around in the water for a while and jump off the rope swing that Luke made when he first found this place. And after a while, he tells her that they should probably get out of here, but she doesn't want to go. They get out of the water and get dressed in silence, and Luke grabs her hand, and she knows that she will be kissing this man.
Kiss him.
She's like, we're gonna make out. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Do it.
They get to the truck and he opens her door for her, but before she can hop in, he grabs her belt loop with his fingers. Not quite sure what he's about to do, but she just grabs his shirt in her hands and pulls her face to his, and their kiss is electric. And ooh. She tells him, you've chickened out on kissing me twice, so I did it myself.
Get it.
He grabs her by the throat and brings her mouth back to his and runs his hands through her hair, kissing her passionately. He lifts her up by her ass. She wraps her legs around him as she bites his lower lip. He lays her down on the bench in the truck and her legs open, so he settles himself between them, still kissing her.
Oh my God, about time.
Between this and having to watch her in that goddamn swimsuit all day, I was probably about 45 seconds from blowing in my pants like a fucking 15-year-old. But I didn't care. All I cared about was Emmy, about being close to her, about the fact that I finally had her in my arms.
You guys are gonna fuck.
She moans as he kisses down her collarbone, and he tells her she's so fucking perfect as he thrusts his hips into her, and she tells him she needs more. He gropes her breasts and tells her if they keep going, he's not going to be able to stop, and she tells him she doesn't want him to stop.
"What do you want, Emmy?" I asked. She was quiet for a moment. I could almost hear both of our heartbeats. "I want you to fuck me in this truck, please." God damn. Who knew Emmy Ryder had a mouth on her? One thing was for certain. I wanted her mouth all over me. It was like a switch flipped in my brain at those words. Any sort of reservation I had about doing this flew out of the window. I wasn't just crossing the line. I wanted to blow that line the fuck up. "That's what you want, sugar?" "For me to fuck you out here in the open?" I said, needing her to say it again. I needed her to tell me she wanted me. "Yes, Luke. I want it so bad. Please." The way she said my name sounded desperate. Just when I thought I couldn't get more turned on by her. The part of my brain that was determined to claim this woman took over. "You want to feel me inside of you?" She moaned at my words. "Oh God, yes, please. Fuck." I kissed her again. This kiss was all teeth and tongues. I'm just imagining them like hitting teeth.
Yeah, me too.
Just like clink, clink, clink.
No.
We would have plenty of time for softness, but right now, all I could think of was how badly I wanted her. She brought her hands to the hem of my t-shirt and started to drag it up my body. I pushed up her crop top so I could see the tops of her perfect tits. I was about to lower my mouth to them when Emmy's phone rang. I'd rather he say, like, her perfect breasts or her perfect boobs, you know?
Boobies.
There's just something about the word tits. I'm like, it's not
tits.
Hot to me.
Let me see your tits, baby.
Let me see your tits.
He licks her nipple as he tells her to ignore the phone, but she tells him it's Gus, so he has to stop what he's doing. And he's like, fuck, I'm making out with my best friend's little sister.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God.
My bestie,
oh, no, you're both two consenting adults. What will you do?
Eventually, her phone stops ringing, and they start to pick up where they left off. But now Luke's phone is ringing, and he knows exactly who it is. And Emmy tells him he needs to answer it, or Gus will probably come out looking for both of them. He knows she's right, so he picks it up, and Gus is asking where Emmy is, and Luke panics and is like, no, I don't know where she is. Why? As Emmy is dragging her nails down his chest, stopping just above the waistband of his pants, and he's so hard right now. And Gus tells him that Emmy's not in her cabin, and she's not at the stables.
Emmy, who was apparently a fucking succubus from hell, chose that moment to cut my dick through my jeans. Fuck. I bit down on my lower lip, but I couldn't control the small groan that came out. I grabbed her wrist and shot daggers at her.
Stop it, Emmy.
Luke tells Gus that he hasn't seen Emmy all day, as she's literally kissing his neck. And Gus is like, that's weird. She hasn't left the ranch since she got here. And Luke is like, well, she's probably with Teddy. And Gus is like, you're right. I'll try calling her again later. Gus says we're doing a family dinner on Thursday, and you can come if you want. And Luke says, that sounds good, and I'll let you know if I see Emmy. And Gus is like, are you out for a run or something? Because you sound super out of breath. And Luke's like, I'm just doing projects around the bar. I'll talk to you later. Bye. And hangs up.
I'm fucking your little sister.
Luke grabs Emmy's hair, forcing her head back to look at him, and he tells her he's gonna punish her for that. And she says, punish me for what? And he says, for being a fucking cock tease while I'm on the phone. And she tells him she can take it. But he's like, I need to get home. And she says, fine, but you have to make it up to me later. And he says, deal.
Oh, he will.
Oh, he will.
When she gets home, Emmy immediately calls Teddy to tell her about what happened, and Teddy is ready for the details. Teddy's totally on board for this relationship and tells her that Luke is a good guy and she should give him a chance, because she can tell that Emmy is genuinely happy about what just happened, and she's like, yeah, but what about Gus? And Teddy says, what about him?
Yeah, honestly.
You're a fucking adult.
Emmy says that Luke is his best friend, and Teddy tells her that she can't let Gus stop her from doing what she wants, and that if Gus finds out and loses his shit, Teddy will deal with him. Teddy tells her, he's hot, you're hot, you guys deserve to be hot together.
You do.
Right after they hang up, Gus and his daughter Riley walk into the cabin, and they're like, where were you today? I tried calling you. And she says she went into town to get some coffee to have some alone time, and he's like, do you really need more alone time? Gus tells Emmy that they're having dinner tomorrow to discuss Wes's guest ranch project, and they exchange I love yous, and as they go to leave, Gus turns around and says, oh, and Luke is coming tomorrow, so please try and behave yourself.
She will.
It's Thursday dinner, and Luke has had dinner with the Ryders millions of times before, but this is different because Emmy will be there, and he is nervous. He usually wears a worn ratty t-shirt and a hat, and he usually doesn't care what he wears, but since he's crushing and he's vibing and he's really feeling Emmy, he decided to go with his less worn jeans, a black t-shirt, and no hat. So he's looking fancy and nice.
Dapper. He said, I'm gonna look good for my girl.
When he sees Emmy, his heart
leaps and jumps, and it makes him want to fall to his knees. When dinner was done and everyone was leaving, Emmy's dad asked Luke to walk Emmy home, and she was getting nervous. She was like, Dad, like, I live like 500 feet away. I don't need like a chaperone.
It's like on the property.
Yeah. And he's like, Emmy, just let him walk you home. She was like,
Let him walk you home. Let him walk you into your home. Let him walk you to your bed.
Let him walk into your pussy.
Open it up.
They got outside and they were walking hand in hand, and then Emmy asked Luke if he was just messing around with his best friend's little sister. He's never been in a relationship before and he's never wanted to try, but with Emmy, he wants to. He admits to her that he likes her and that she just feels right, and that he knows that they shouldn't do it because there's a million things that could go wrong, but he just can't help himself. She says that she likes him too. They get to her house and she said that she should go to bed, and then she told him goodnight. He starts walking away and then he paused, and like there's a realization that dawns on him, and he's like, I was put on Earth at the same time as Clementine Ryder.
The stars have aligned.
Yes, he turns his cute little booty around and he marches his ass back to her cabin.
Cutesy.
picture this, right? Emmy was so proud of herself for saying goodnight to him, because she's like, I had willpower. Like, she all night she was like drooling over how hot he looked. It was super unexpected that he straight up professed that he liked her. She really did believe him. She was standing in her cabin thinking like, oh my God, we could have totally had a cute fucking moment if I wasn't such an idiot for kicking him out. So she flung open her door, wanting to go chase after him, and Luke was standing there.
Oh,
I know.
His chest was like rising and falling rapidly, and his arm was raised in the air like he was just about to pound on the door.
Like he's gonna hit her in the fucking face.
Exactly.
He's like, I've been waiting for you, bitch. Pop. I love you.
And they had like this moment of eye contact, and then Luke just like lunged and kissed her. The kiss was intense and uninterrupted and full of passion. Emmy told Luke that she wanted him. She was like, you and me, I want you.
Let's fucking do it.
Yeah, when she said that, his tether snapped and he picked her up and he carried her to the bed. He wanted her to strip for him, so she did, but she wanted his shirt off too. And then she told him that she wanted his pants off too. And he says, that's the last command you'll give me. I'm in charge tonight. Do you understand?
Yes, Daddy, I do.
Okay, Daddy Dom. Okay.
Woof, woof.
He grabs her neck and he possessively kisses her, and then he brings her to the bed where she's laying down and she's straddling him, but they're both still wearing their underwear.
Neck kisses are like my kryptonite. The minute Andrew like touches my neck, I'm like, jello.
I had a hickey on my neck last week for like a week straight, and I had to walk into work with a hickey, and everyone was like, really, Jenna? I'm like, it felt too good to stop it at that point. I was like, you know what? I know, like, whatever.
You said, I'm a grown woman in a committed relationship.
Oh, I have to tell you guys a story.
I want to know it. Tell me. Yeah. Give me the tea.
So you know how in all the books there's like a lot of tongue sucking?
Yeah.
Yes.
Did you try it?
Yeah. So I know during the Hooked episode, I was like, that's disgusting. But I was like, you know what? I want to try it. So then I had Zach try it and I was like, no, I like it. So he sucked my tongue. But then he sucked my tongue a little bit too hard and he ripped my frenulum.
What's that?
The tongue tie?
Yeah.
No fucking way.
So I got like a free tongue tie like, revision. Yeah, I was like,
Was there blood?
A little bit. I wonder if it's still. I think it's healed now. But like, it was like, and I was like.
That's the funniest shit ever.
So not too hard, but just a little bit hard, and it's nice?
Yeah, but he was like, I'll do it again, and I'll be gentle. And I was like, don't.
No. You guys hear that? Tongue sucking is in.
Proceed with caution, though.
Honestly. That feel good, sugar? He asked, his breath short. You rubbing your pussy all over my cock?
Meanwhile, they're just like dry humping with their underwear on.
I love a good dry hump.
I mean, yeah, it's nice, but...
I call people sugar, like, at work and stuff. Like, I'll say, thanks, sugar. You know, things like that. You know, cutesy. In this sense, it is not
Yeah,
hot,
but, like,
really?
What if he's, like, deep, dark, and musty, like, thanks, sugar?
That's true. He could be like, that feel good, sugar.
Yeah, like that. I mean, I guess. I could get behind it. He tells her to keep going until she comes like this. And even though they're still clothed, her orgasm was intense. And he was like, if you think that's good, just wait till I fuck you. He starts fingering her and she was so fucking wet. And she never, ever felt this way with someone before.
When he pulled away, he also pulled his fingers from me and my body ached at the loss. He was hovering over me, looking directly in my eyes as he brought them to his mouth and sucked. His eyes closed as if he were savoring the taste. Then he brought them out of his mouth with a lewd pop. You want a taste?
Sip, sip.
You want a little lick?
No. You have it. I'm good. I'm full. I had a big dinner. I'm good.
I need to say, just have a snack.
So she sucked her juices right off of his fingers and he praised her and he said that she tasted like a dream and he needs more. So he spread her out like a feast. But she started to get shy because of all the men that she's been with before who have eaten her out, but have never really made her come before.
I feel like you have to be really good at eating someone out in order to make them come.
Yeah. Yeah. All of the boys that have eaten her out before, they've all made it feel like a chore to her. So she was like, it's not really worth your time.
Not worth my time? I don't know what type of men you've been sleeping with, sugar, but devouring your perfect cunt is always gonna be worth my time.
Slay.
I'd be like, don't talk about it, be about it.
Show me. Put your tongue down there. He said, I'll tell you what, if you'll allow me to, let me fuck you with my tongue for a few minutes, and if it's not doing anything for you, we can move on. So she's like, meh, sure, why not? Let's try it. She's now convinced that he has magical powers because Luke Brooks did the impossible, and she came. Even though she just came, she's still horny as fuck, and she wants to fuck him so bad.
Fuck him.
He's got a thick, big boy, and she takes him inch by inch. And at first, she's just getting used to his size, but finally, once she's used to him, they get moving, and they make sweet, sweet, sexy love.
I want you to come again, sugar. I want to feel you come while you're wrapped around my cock. Can you do that for me?
I think she can. So she comes for the third time, which has literally never happened to her before, and Luke picks up his pace, and he starts laying it down hard, and he finally comes. He tells her he can bury himself in her every second of every day and never get tired of it, and she said, is that a promise? He said, do you want it to be? And she said, I wouldn't mind. Afterglow is dangerous, y'all. She fell asleep wrapped in Luke's arms. Morning sex was definitely happening, and they both got it bad for each other.
He started to move behind me, and the arm that was holding my leg came to stroke my clit. He fucked me and stroked me in tandem. His fingers and his cock working in sync bring me to oblivion. I didn't know which way was up or down. All I knew was that I never wanted this to end.
They just finished, and there was a knock at her door, and it was her brother, Wes.
Oh my god, cockblock.
What are you doing here?
He's just checking in on his little sister. Luke had to run to the bathroom to hide, and Emmy had to put on one of Luke's t-shirts. She just threw on a t-shirt, but it was like Luke's t-shirt that he wore the night before.
Ooh.
And Wes kind of like gave her the side eye, but didn't say anything. And he just asked her to help out with something on the ranch. After he left, Luke said that they should talk about her brothers because he's been someone's dirty little secret before, but he doesn't want to be hers because he cares about her. She just asked Luke for a little bit more time. He looked a little defeated, but he said, fine, but they will talk about this again. It's Teddy's 27th birthday, and Emmy pulls up to Teddy's house. Hank is Teddy's dad, who used to be a rock star. He got Teddy's mom pregnant, and 11 months later, she showed up with a baby who she didn't even bother to name. Hank stopped rocking and rolling and decided to settle down, and Emmy's dad got him a job on the ranch, and they've been best friends since. Aww, when Teddy sees Emmy, she automatically knew something happened with her and Luke last night, and Hank is like, I'd rather not know what you and Brooks are up to. Emmy shoots Teddy a look, and Teddy's like, I did not tell him anything, I swear. She's like, how did you know? And he's like, Teddy needs to shut her door when she's gossiping on the phone, but don't worry, your secret's safe with me.
Cool dad, though.
I know, honestly.
After having Teddy's traditional birthday pasta that they make every year, they go to Teddy's room to finally have some girl talk. Emmy told her everything that's happened and what Luke said to her about not wanting her to be a secret. Teddy just told her it's okay for her to take a couple days for her to figure her stuff out, and told her bestie that she doesn't have to go through all of this alone. Emmy felt bad that she's kept Teddy in the dark about why she's come home, so Teddy doesn't know that she got in the accident.
Yeah, she hasn't told anybody except for
Luke.
Yeah. Damn, okay.
Teddy asked if they should plan for another place tonight, if she needed some space from Luke, since they planned to go to the Devil's Boot for her birthday tonight. Emmy said no. Teddy smiled and said, good, because this dress is going to kill him. Teddy is a designer for clothes, and she made her a smoking hot dress for her birthday.
Oh, how cool.
Luke's been so distracted all day long at the Devil's Boot, constantly thinking about his time with Emmy last night, and it surprised him that he stayed with her all night and in the morning. He didn't stay.
that was never him. He always left after sex and never felt bad about it. But with Emmy, he couldn't leave. He didn't want to. He's come to realization that he's falling for the one woman in the world that he's not supposed to. And he knows that he wants to, but he knows what he wants, but he's not sure if she's ready. Joe, the co-owner of the bar, gave him some advice and told him to just keep showing her that he's willing and committed. And he said that that he can do. This is later on in the day, and he was working his shift, and his eyes caught on a flash of red, and it was Emmy, and she was stunning. She's wearing a sexy red dress that Teddy made for her, and she had red lips to match. He's never seen her with lipstick on before, and he wanted those lips either on his or on his cock. And he was rock hard looking at her.
Yeah, in his Levi jeans.
He made the girls lemon drop shots just to have an excuse to go over to them and to talk to Emmy. They thanked him, and he was just going about his shift but keeping an eye on her. A little bit later, she walked up to the bar and asked to take a shot with him. He asked what she wanted, and she said tequila, and he grabbed his finest bottle, took a shot with her. She said, "What do I owe you?" He got real close to her and whispered in her ear, "You can pay me later." And she was like, "Okay."
That'll be 2 pussy lips, please.
So she walked away in a haze and bumped into this guy on her way back, and he grabbed her waist, and Luke immediately got jealous, and he was like, "Play cool, play cool. It was just an innocent bump, but I'm gonna keep an eye out on this guy."
That's his, I almost said, that's his man, but that's his woman.
That's his man.
A little bit later on in the night, the guy that bumped into Emmy earlier, him and his friends made their way over to the table with the girls, and they were all flirting with them, and the guy that bumped into Emmy, he was wearing double denim, first off.
Absolutely no.
Canadian tuxedo.
That's like a thing, though.
I just think of, like, Justin and Brittany, but, like,
I was ugly. Literally gonna say JT and Brittany.
Emmy, she's just, like, not into it. He's not picking up on the social cues that she's giving. She's not into the conversation, and he, like, put his hand on her upper thigh, and she shrugged him off. And after she shrugged him off, he did it again. And when Luke saw that, Luke was like, "Oh, fuck no." He walked over to them right away, and he was like, "Take your fucking hands off of her." The guy was like, "Hey, dude, we're just talking." And Luke's like, "Doesn't look like she wants to talk to you. Get your hands off of her."
Yeah.
Emmy's looking at him, but she, like, doesn't look very friendly at him right now. She's kind of, she looks like at him, like, kind of, like, annoyed, which I get because he is being very overprotective, but, like, and they're not very together, but at the same time, like, the dude's definitely being really handsy.
Yeah, I'd be like, take care of it.
Yeah, I would have been like, let's leave right now. I'm gonna fuck ya.
But the stupid dumb guy was like, "We're all right, aren't we, honey?" And Luke, like, saw red. He grabbed the guy by his collar and he got up close and was like, "Get your friends and get the fuck out of my bar." And the guy said, "This place is fucking stupid and a bitch isn't worth it." And when he said that,
hit him.
Yeah, Luke punched the guy and he laid him out flat, and the guy, like, passed out for a couple seconds. When the guy came to, he, like, tried going back at Luke, and then Luke catched his fist in his hand.
Oh.
He spun him to face Emmy, and he was like, "Apologize to her."
Hot.
When I tell you, like, my nipples would be so hard.
Is it cold in here?
Oh my god.
Or am I just horny?
Does anyone have a tissue? I'm freaking drooling over here.
And not from my mouth.
My pussy's drooling.
The guy apologized and they kicked him out of the bar, and everyone in the bar, like, cheered, because I guess when the bar owner punches someone, it's obviously like he fucking deserved it, right? He turned to look at Emmy and she looks at him like she's fucking pissed, and he's like, "I'd rather not make a scene." So he picks her up and throws her over his shoulder like a fucking sack of potatoes, and then he keeps in mind that she has a dress on, so he holds down the back of her dress so that way she's covered, like, because he's a thoughtful king. Love
gentleman.
That. And now it's Teddy's turn, and she's clapping and saying woo, and she's like, like, lit up, like, it's her birthday.
Best,
like, this is the best day ever.
Yeah, I bet her being her best friend, I bet she's just like, yeah, get him, get him.
They get to the door of his office, and he pushes her down, and she's like, "What the hell is wrong with you? You can't just punch people who talk to me. I can handle myself." He says that he knows that she can, but seeing someone else touch her was driving him fucking crazy. She tells him that he can't do that because hitting people is bad, and he hikes up her dress, and he finds that she's not wearing any underwear under her dress.
You want to know what's bad? You bringing this bare
pussy into my bar like a perfect little slut.
A bear pussy?
He was teasing her and not fully fingering her because he said that he didn't want to do anything that she'll regret since she was mad at him. And she was drinking, but he just loves teasing her and hearing her beg for him. So she started seducing him and she said, since you won't take care of me, let me take care of you. She pushes him against the desk and gets down on her knees as she undoes his belt and pulls his pants down and takes him in her mouth.
You love choking on my cock, don't you? I said. Emmy looked up at me through her thick eyelashes and nodded as much as she could. I wanted the image of her on her knees with her red lips wrapped around my cock projected on my fucking headstone.
Jeez. Wow. Oh, children visit the cemetery. That's inappropriate.
Sure. See, that's like my favorite part. I was like, oh my God, wow. I have issues, I guess.
Think of the children.
18 plus only cemetery.
Could you imagine?
Bury me in the adult-only cemetery.
With the porn stars.
He was currently obsessed with marking her as his, though, and wanted to come inside of her, not in her mouth. So he asked if he could fuck her on his desk and fill her with his cum. Of course, she said yes. And when he started fucking her, he was seeing stars. They were fucking hard. And he said, tell me you're mine. And she said, I'm yours. And they came together.
Cute.
We'd love a good come together.
We love a good come together.
We do. It's so magical. After they were in post-glow, she told Luke she was in like with him. And she doesn't exactly know when she will tell her family, but she will tell them. She just needs a little time. Luke tells her that he didn't mean to push her this morning and she's worth the wait. He admits to himself that Emmy might be in like with him, but it was then at that moment that he realized that he was falling in love with her.
Love.
Emmy plans to go into town with her dad, and he started the conversation out with, well, you've been home for a month now. And she's like, fuck. He wants to know what my plans are. He knew that since she's been home, she's been sad. And the fact that she's going through something and has been putting on a face for the family, he doesn't want her to do it alone anymore. She told her dad that she doesn't want to barrel race anymore. She'll do the big competition coming up in their hometown for her final goodbye. But after that, she's done. She'd like to stay home at the ranch to work. Her dad said that they could use a riding instructor. He's sure that if she wanted to, Luke would switch her for the kids and he could take the teens and adults. And she said, what makes you say that? And he said, nothing happened at Rebel Blue that I don't know about, Spud.
Daddy knows.
Uh-oh.
How does he know?
Nothing happens there that he doesn't know about. So they go to Tractor Supply and they run into Kenny. Kenny asked her on a date and she told him that she was seeing someone. After getting what they needed, her and her dad go to the coffee shop and they have a really cute, tender father-daughter moment of remembering her mom. Her dad got very sentimental, which was very unlike him, and up until now, she was always trying to escape her hometown, thinking that everything that she was looking for was going to be anywhere else but here. But now that she's back, she's right where she wants to be. She's having like a super major character development moment, and she's really realizing that she's capable of doing things and wants to take the time to celebrate small and even the big ones instead of chasing one thing after the other, which she's done all of her life. It's been 1 week since Teddy's birthday and they're crushing so hard. Her and Luke, they're vibing. One day she went over to Luke's house for dinner and he made her dinner. Once they were done eating, he put music on and he danced with her in the kitchen.
Oh, that's the dream.
I love that.
Today she woke up to do her chores and saw Luke already there, and all of her stuff for the morning was already done. He said that they had plans this morning and to go get Maple. They were out for a light trot going towards the small arena. When they approached, she saw that he set up his own regulation barrel course for her in the small arena so she can practice since divisionals is coming up in 2 weeks. He said if she's gonna go out, she's gonna go out with a bang. No one has ever done anything like this for her. She couldn't believe her eyes. The amount of emotions that were surrounding her was like super overwhelming.
Yeah, it's so sweet.
I know. If he wanted to, he would.
True. True, true, true.
Luke could tell the fear like started sinking in as she realized that she would have to do the thing that got her hurt, and he was there to support her the entire time. The past week, there was a set routine, and Emmy was slowly getting back her confidence in barrel racing. He's happy that things are getting better for her, but with the routine they have, he's also feeling really shitty about his situation and going behind his best friend Gus's back. He wants to tell him because that's his best friend, and he doesn't want Gus to think that he's just fucking around with Emmy and he doesn't like lying to him. But another part of him is also nervous because he's like, what if she still hasn't said anything to her family and her brothers because she's not fully committed yet? What if she wants to be more casual?
They need a chat.
Well, they have, but she's like, I'll tell them when I'm ready. But he's just thinking she's not ready yet. But he's like, why?
I'd be like, bitch, get ready.
What's wrong with
honestly
me? As they're getting ready to leave, Luke pulls her in for a hug and a kiss and his phone rings and he answers it without looking at the caller ID and it's his mom. This stunts him to his core because him and his mom have such a strained relationship. When they hang up, Emmy asks if he's okay and he can't even answer her at first. She asks again if he's okay and what happened, and Luke just says that her mom's husband was supposed to be home a couple days ago from work. He works as a truck driver and he's never returned. Oh, Emmy says that she's not gonna let him go through this alone, so she went to his childhood home with him. He was trying to convince her not to go in his house with her because he didn't grow up like she did. He didn't know what they were about to walk into, and he doesn't want to put her in a situation where she's going to be uncomfortable. She's like, you were there for me every step of the way since I've been home. Please let me be there for you now. Luke's mom, Lydia, she gives him a half hug and then eyes up Emmy, and she isn't approving at all. She goes into detail about John, Luke's stepdad, about his disappearance, and states that his truck was last seen at the Nevada state line.
Nevada?
Hey, that's us.
That's us, baby. Emmy asks if there's anything that they could do for her while they're there, and Lydia says that she doesn't need anything from the Riders. They already took everything from her already. And Luke was like, Mom, you know I couldn't live here like this. If you talk to my girl like that again, we will leave. She agreed, and the more they talked about Luke and the bar and his life, the more she relaxed. Luke's shitty brother JJ walks in the door and immediately is like, what the fuck are you doing here? Luke tries to leave, but JJ blocks his path and looks at Emmy, and he's like, Emmy Ryder, what the hell are you doing in this house with my loser brother? And how does Gus feel about his right-hand man fucking his little sister? And Luke has like so much venom in his voice, and he's like, don't fucking talk to her. And then he pushes his brother, and
yeah.
As they're leaving, Emmy whips around and she tells JJ he should stop being such an asshole, because if he messes with the wrong person, they might just let it slip to the sheriff that he deals more than just weed out of his trailer. And they walked out the door.
Yeah.
You little drug dealer.
When they get to the car, Luke passionately kisses her, but a different kiss. And she was like, what was that for? And he's like, no one's ever stood up for me before.
Sad.
He deserves more. He tells her that that really sucked. And he's like, is it bad that I wish that John never returned? And she's like, no. But in the moment, she's not looking at 30-year-old Luke. She's looking at 15-year-old Brooks, who just wants a family and just wants to be loved. And he thanked her for coming with him. And she's like, I will go anywhere with you.
They love each other.
It's division racing day, and as Emmy is getting ready, she has to have Teddy put her number on her because her hands are shaking so bad. Teddy notices, and she's like, what is going on? You've never reacted like this before. You've raced 1,000 times. Like, why are you so nervous? She finally, like, breaks down, and she tells her all about the accident. Teddy's a little bit taken back, but she just apologizes to her best friend that she felt like she had to go through that alone. Again, Teddy's queen.
She's honestly the best. Everyone needs a Teddy.
Really do.
She sounds like the best friend.
Emmy's not at a full-blown panic attack yet, but she's definitely panicking, and Emmy asks Teddy if she can go grab Luke. Luke comes immediately, and he takes one look at her, and he just, like, runs to her and is able to calm her down. He tells her that he's proud of her, and she says that she hasn't even raced yet, and he says, you can decide to leave right now, and he said that he will still be so proud of her, but it's up to her if she wants to do this or not, and she said, yes. He's like, that's my girl.
That is your girl.
While Emmy gets pulled away to start the competition, Teddy's still standing there watching, like, completely stunned, and she's like, you love her? And he's like, yeah, I do. She's like, she loves you too, you know? He's like, how do you know that? She said that she asked for you. Emmy doesn't ask for anything. She puts her head down and she gets through it on her own, but she asked for you.
Yee-haw!
Giddy up.
The yeet my haw. The yeet to her hall,
you're the
baby.
Yeet to my hall.
So it was Emmy's turn and she went last. She went a different direction than all of the other barrel racers, which is a harder and usually a longer way. And they were like, why the fuck did she go that way? Like, if she went the other way, it would have been faster and easier. Like, her control over Maple was absolutely crazy. And she ended up in first place, breaking her own personal record with 14.8 seconds.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Luke was so fucking proud of his girl for not only getting back on a horse, but dominating the competition. He let Teddy lead the pack to meet up with her for the congratulations, but as Teddy called her name and she saw the whole family, she started running towards Luke. She threw herself into Luke's arms and kissed him in front of her whole family in town.
Secrets out, baby.
Gus cuts in and he's like, what the fuck?
Shut up, Gus.
Gus, she's an adult.
Mind your business.
Luke just told him, he's like, listen, if you want to be mad at someone, be mad at me. And he's like, believe me, I am. And then Gus punches his best friend in the face.
Oh, come on.
Gus said, I knew you were a screw up, but I didn't know you were a liar too.
Yikes.
Thankfully, Teddy mentioned his daughter, Riley, and was like, do you really think Riley wants to see you beating her uncle? Get over yourself and pull yourself together. And that, like, snapped him out of it.
Go, Teddy, as always.
Luke hasn't seen Emmy in a couple days since the whole brother-punching-best-friend fiasco. Luke and Emmy agreed that they would try to give it a couple days for Gus to come around. So Luke has no intentions of giving Emmy up, but he cherishes his relationship with Gus and doesn't want it broken beyond repair. He's talking to Emmy via text, and he has a knock on his door, and it's actually Gus. He lets him in, and Gus apologizes for punching him and saying that he was a screw-up, and he really didn't mean it at all. Luke told him that he was going to tell him once Emmy was ready. And once Gus knew that Luke wasn't hiding Emmy and that he's actually in love with her, he sighed big, and he's like, I'm not really okay with it, but because she's like literally the one person who should be off limits, but maybe one day he can be okay with it, and then tells him where Emmy's job is today on the ranch. Luke immediately stands up to leave to tell Emmy that he loves her, and Gus tells Luke that if he breaks Emmy's heart, a black eye will be the least of his worries.
I'ma kill ya.
Emmy's standing in the hills thinking about Luke, almost thinking that she's like hallucinating hearing him call her name. But then it happens again, and Maple's ears twitch, and she realizes it's actually real life, and she sees a rider barreling towards her in the distance. She'd know that rider anywhere. It's Luke. He stops in front of her out of breath with Midnight, his horse, that he rode through the toughest part of the ranch completely bareback just to get to her. His hair is wild and windblown. He gets off the horse and he grabs her face and he tells her he has something he has to tell her. And then she says she has something that she has to tell him too. And he tells her that he loves her and that she's it for him. And she tells him that she loves him too and that he's it for her too.
Oh my goodness. Aww.
It's the epilogue. Him and Emmy are doing great and still making sweet, sweet, sexy love.
Yeah.
Luke's relationship with his mom is improving now that she has his number and they talk more often. John came home a couple days after they visited. His truck's tracker turned back on outside of a strip of casinos in Reno.
Wow.
Hey, that's us.
Hello. Baby. They were sitting down eating breakfast and he pulled out a key to her and she's like, is this what I think this is? Are you asking me to move in with you? He's nervous and said that they can slow down if that's what she wants, if this is too much. Instead, she just smiles and kisses him and says that she will move in and that she loves him. He says, I love you too, Clementine Ryder. The end.
Oh my goodness. What a sweet story.
Riley, how many red pepper emojis do you give this one?
I think I would give this one like a solid 4.5. This one was good. It was good. I like this one.
It was a little cutie.
It was.
And do you think Luke is sexy?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys?
Absolutely. Yeah. Darn tootin', yes.
Darn tootin'. Mm-hmm. Would you trade places with Emmy Ryder?
Yes. I would love to be thrown off a horse and be in her place.
Honestly. I mean, it sounds like a fun time. Didn't sound too crazy.
No.
No.
There was perfect. No third act breakup. He's not toxic.
Yeah. Love to see it.
Never happens.
They have a healthy, loving relationship and great sex, and they get to come together. 10 out of 10. Aww.
As we said, we love a good come together.
And next week, we're telling Riley all about Last Light by Claire Kent, and we're going to have her look at the cover and give us her best guess on what it might be about.
So it has, like, something burning on the cover. I think it's like a... Oh my God. Like a campfire. That's what it looks like. I couldn't think of the word. And it says, love at the end of the world. I think it's going to be like a zombie apocalypse. And she or he, one of them, is going to be traveling for a long period of time. And they're going to come across each other. And then, oh my God, it's love and fucking.
Okay. Okay. That's a good guess.
Thank you.
I love your imagination.
You. Honestly, you weren't too far off.
Really? Mm-hmm. I can't wait.
This was my top book of 2022. I love this book.
Oh, I can't wait then.
Oh, it's so good.
All right. Well, if you liked this episode, make sure you rate, review, and subscribe. Don't forget to check out patreon.com/smutupandlisten for early access, ad-free episodes. And at the second tier, you have access to a podcast of unfortunate events where Riley and I will be doing a deep dive into a series of unfortunate events by Lemony Snicket.
Woo! Follow us on Instagram at smutupandlistenpodcast and on TikTok at smutupandlisten.
Tell your friends, but not your mom. And we'll see you later, you horny little rats.
Bye.
All right. Well, if you liked this episode, make sure you rate, review, and subscribe.
Follow us on Instagram at smutupandlistenpodcast and on TikTok at smutupandlisten.
Tell your friends, but not your mom. And we'll see you later, you horny little rats.
Bye.